Welcome to the fifth episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, season 4. I'm Deepa Thomas Sutcliffe, your friendly host. On the streets and nooks of Manchester, my inspiring Mancunian guests tackle their causes with their grit and passion. They are leaders, worker bees, and community hosts. And they share their stories to inspire you all through the season. Relax, grab a brew, and listen in to the Meet the Mancunian podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also check out all the episodes on my new website, www.meetthemancunian.co.uk. Looking to help the local community with financial well-being? We hear from Ruth Downs, financial advisor, Platt Partnership, in this episode.
I'm delighted to introduce my guest, Ruth Downs, financial advisor, the Platt Partnership. Thank you so much, Ruth, for joining me today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Really excited to hear about all the good work that you're doing to help women find reliable financial advice. So tell us your story. How did you get involved?
Wow. Well, many moons ago, I dread to tell you how many moons, but yeah, I went to visit my mum who lives in Cape Town in South Africa. She lives over there now. And I'd seen that her health had massively deteriorated. And long story short, I frog marched her to the doctors and I was told that she had 2 to 3 weeks to live unless she had a double bypass or a valve transplant. My whole world got turned upside down. I gave up my job in the UK to go and look after her. And because her health was so bad, they told me to look into her finances. And they said, start getting things in order because we're not sure if she's going to make it. Well, as you can imagine, the first time you look at any kind of financial documentation, there's a lot of wording, a lot of words that can seem quite perplexing. And I reached out to financial advisors in the UK and asked for their help. And the response I got was they were predominantly one male. Two, they wouldn't talk to me because politely they said I had nothing to invest and it wasn't worth their time. And then the third thing was that they said I wouldn't be able to understand it in the time frame. Now, I was at the most vulnerable point I'd ever been in my life. I'd given up my career, my friends, my family to move abroad to look after my mum because you only have one mum. And it was, and I was reaching out for help and no one would help me. So I'm pleased to tell you my mum is fine and she recovered and we got through. But I knew that there was a massive gap in the market for people to have friendly kind of financial advice where people can get answers to their questions without being looked down on.
Thank you so much. And I think some of the best advice and the best experiences and almost the best businesses probably come from that personal lived experience. So I'm so glad your mum's okay. And I'm glad that gave you the opportunity to kind of find a new direction for yourself. So tell us about how you got involved with the Platt Partnership.
So I did my studies and I worked with a kind of like a training academy to get where I am. So I was pretty much trained to do the job whilst in the job. And yeah, had a wonderful time. But I think anyone that has ever been self-employed, there's this calling that tells you that that's where you're meant to be. And I was employed at the time and I decided to make that switch to being self-employed, but under the Platt Partnership, who helped me with all of my administration side of the job, the power planning side of the job, but I'm self-employed under their wing, and they're such a fantastic agency. I had so many offers from different financial places to join them, and I chose the Platt Partnership because they understood my values. They understood what it was I was trying to achieve. They didn't want to harness kind of and hold me back with my dreams, but they wanted to push me forward and they wanted to work with me to find how I could do that. And it was important to me to have the expertise within the company of the Platt Partnership so that if there was a complicated case, I could lean on someone to ask for their advice, because I'm quite thorough. Like, even though I know what the right thing is to do, I like to triple check that that is what others may do. Because I always think, if it was me, how would I want to be treated? And they are exactly the right fit for me. And I'm very blessed to have come across them and to have joined them.
So tell us about how you work with women in the UK. You know, who do you help and support? And what impact have you made?
I mean, it's not just women. Obviously, there is, I feel a need within the within financial services to break away from that stereotypical view of, you know, an kind of the old financial advisor view of someone that you have to have £1 million to be able to invest, and it's going to cost a lot of money to work with someone. And I'm trying to debunk all those myths to say, no, you don't have to have £1 million to find about financial advice. You could set up a policy with as little as like £75 or less. It's just about, I wanted to give someone and give people a safe place to come and chat, even if they had nothing to invest, to put them on the right track. And I think now more than ever, because of inflation rates, interest rates are now rising, there's so much that is going on, and people need that accessible, friendly financial advice. And whilst on this, I work with another, how can I put this, platform called Leading Ladies in Business. So I host one of their groups as well, and I help run friendly forums as well, where people can come and ask questions, be surrounded by like-minded business people. And another area that I'm quite passionate about is I also am very proud to help the people who are deaf, so hard of hearing. They're also, you know, a community who have felt completely forgotten in financial advice. People that think, I don't know how, where to even start. So I work with some wonderful people called the Interpreter Initiative, and they help me in my job to offer financial advice to the deaf. And I'm very, very proud of that.
That's really interesting. So tell us more about this, you know, working with people, the Interpreter Initiative that you talked about, and how do you reach out to your customer base? Are you tied up with a charity, or are you volunteering?
Yeah, it's more like, for instance, I went into the to Manchester, the Deaf Centre there, and we held just like an open forum where people knew we were coming in. They could just come in and ask us any questions that they had. And obviously, the Interpreter Initiative, they interpreted for me and vice versa. And it worked really well. So, they're keen to, you know, to help offer financial advice for the community. And so far, it's been really successful.
What impact would you say you've made through your financial advice? Is that your kitty who's in the corner there?
Oh, gosh, yes. There's a young kitten who's terrorizing the whole place at the minute. But yeah, I'm very passionate about it. I love animals. So he wants to get involved. He loves coming onto these calls. So the impact that I feel I've made is breaking down barriers, letting people know that they don't have to be afraid or nervous or feel like they don't have the knowledge to speak to somebody about financial advice. I couldn't come into your job and do what you do, or vice versa. So, yeah, I always say there's no such thing as a silly question. And the amount of people that come off the call that I have with them and just feel like a weight has been lifted, you know, I do help change people's, you know, view of finances. And that's my main goal. Is I want to change the way that financial advice is viewed, to let them know that there are people that genuinely care who would treat their money as if it was like my own. And yeah, help. And I love to do that.
I think we need, everybody needs a friendly word of advice, doesn't it? And not given in a very legalese manner, so kind of given in a layman speak or a common woman's language. So
it's like I describe pensions to my clients as in, oh, I could go on about portfolios and asset classes and all the rest of it. But instead I go, okay, so where are we going to put your money is essentially in, think of it like, I mean, I don't follow football, but for instance, we could just use that analogy of like the Premiership League. You have the Premiership League, and that is where all your money kind of is sat. And then within the Premiership League, you have your teams. So you've got Man United, Liverpool, Everton. I think that's about all that I can remember of football teams, but you have many more that go in. And those are kind of your funds. And then within your funds or your football teams, you have players. So all the individual players that go in, and they're kind of your assets. So like your cash, your property, your shares, and that's what makes up your portfolio. And people go, wow, okay, I get it now. Even if they don't follow football like me, they go, I understand it. So then I go, okay, so now we need to understand how much risk you would like to take or how little risk you would like to take. And then we work together to find a solution. I always say, I never tell my clients what to do, but I give them their options, and then we work together to find what is going to be best for them and their families.
There must be challenges along the way that you're facing on this, you know, on this journey of yours, and the goal of making a friendly financial advice friendly and easy to understand. So what are those challenges, and how have you managed to overcome?
Oof, that is a fantastic question. It's been tough. And it's like in everyone's lives, we always come up against challenges, and you've got to have that inner belief that this is your calling. This is something that you're meant to do, no matter how shaky the ground may be. And I remember when I first qualified, I was so young and fresh, and I was out networking and speaking to as many people as possible. And I got on a call with someone who was quite senior within a networking, shall we say, group. And I don't want to mention which one, but there was me and another financial advisor on the call. And pretty much me and this other financial advisor were like competing against the same, you know, to get the same place. And he was absolutely lovely. But then the gentleman that was running it, he basically turned around to me on the call and he told me that there was no place for women in finance. And he openly kind of said this and was like, you'll be lucky to work anywhere, let alone to kind of get into this group. And I remember I stayed quiet because I'm someone that doesn't like to react. I kind of, okay, I'm going to listen and I'm just going to, you know, think about my response. And I remember the male financial advisor on the call, he was lovely. And I will never, ever forget this, but he took his headphones, because we're on a Zoom call, and he wrapped them around his neck and he pretended to hang himself as if to go, look, stop. And the guy was like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. And I just went, I think you've said enough. I said, you don't think that there's meant to be a place for women in finance? I was like, just watch me. I was like, just watch me, because thank you, you've spurred me on to continue to be on this path and to tell me that there is a role for women in finance because of people like you. And that was tough. I thought about that for a long time. I got very angry after the call. And then, as we all do, we analyze it. And then I decided, yeah, I'm going to use this as fuel to power me on, to know that there is. And I've had it from the other side as well, I have to say. I've had women that have kind of come to me and have then they've kind of been come, how can I put this, from the previous company I was at, there was like a client base where we would all get allocated different clients, and I got allocated this one lady, and she hadn't even spoken to me, but she told me, if it's okay, I'd rather a male financial advisor. So it's not just one way, it's both. And I think there's still things that shock me about the old-fashioned view that men should be handling finances, and that's the way it should be. Whereas some of my clients are divorced women who have no idea where to start and have come out of bad relationships and want a female to help them, to guide them, and to have that, you know, is a different energy that you deal with. So I definitely think there's a market there, and these are the challenges that I do come up against every day. And I feel I have to work twice as hard to be in this industry to prove myself, but that makes me really, really good at what I do. So I'm happy to continue with that.
That's a very positive attitude to stereotyping and taking it as a good challenge to, you know, prove yourself and to show the difference you can make, and absolutely go for it, Ruth. Shine on. I always believe that, you know, women and men can do anything they want
exactly.
to. And it's really in your mind. As long as you're up for it, the sky's the limit, isn't it?
It's hard. You have to practice every day a growth mindset. And it's not easy.
Yes.
And there's days when it's really hard. But I do believe that you should, every experience that you have, you have to let it empower you to move forward and to be better. And I always turn it around and go, how can I use that to make me a better person? And what can I learn for this? Because when you look inside to yourself, that's where the growth happens and where you can use it for positivity.
Absolutely. Very positive way to look at this. Now, how can interested people reach out to you and learn more?
So I do have a website. So it's just my name, which is www.ruthdowns.com. And it's D-O-W-N-S. There's no E in it. So you can have a look on there. And it gives, once again, a bit of background about how I got started. And I also created it because I think finance is a very personal journey. My clients tell me a lot about themselves, their lives, you know, how they had their relationship with money, which often starts with when they were at school. So I wanted to kind of do something for others that might be looking to know who they're going to work with. So I created this website, and it's got bits about me as well, about what I like to do in my own spare time, how I got into this, and how I help my clients, as well as testimonials that I've done. So they can reach out, I mean, pretty much by any medium, LinkedIn, obviously it's my name, you've got Instagram. I mean, I help a lot of veterinarians as well. I would have loved to have been a veterinarian in another life, but I am too emotional around animals. So like, even when my cat goes for a checkup, I have to leave the room. I'm like, nope, I can't deal with this. You're going to have to deal with it. And so I think the next best thing is to be able to help veterinarians and people who care for animals and help them with their financial journey. I think if you love what you do, you will never work a day in your life. And often I do 12, 15 hour days. And it's like my fiance is like, come on, Ruth, you know, it's time for bed. And I come in, I've got this beaming grin on my face. And I'm like, you know, today's been so productive. I've really felt like I've helped a lot of people. And people come on the call so nervous, and then they come off feeling like this weight's been lifted. And that just, I mean, I'm getting all like passionate about it now, but it's a joy to be able to do and to find your passion and to find what your calling is and to get so much enjoyment out of it.
Truly, I can hear that coming right out of you. So that's great. Is there any volunteering that you do? Is everything that you do part of your business, or is there other things that you
do? I do a lot of volunteering. Like the Leading Ladies in Business, that's not mine. So I volunteer to kind of like host the groups. When I go into, like, for instance, when I was talking about Manchester Deaf Centre, that is going in and working with the Interpreter Initiative. And it's completely free service to go. It's what we call financial well-being workshops. So it's not necessarily with a specific charity, but it's my way of trying to give back to reach as many people as possible. Because especially with COVID and even pre-COVID, mental well-being is intrinsically linked with financial well-being. And so many people wake up like worried about money and worried about what they're going to do. So if I can go in and say, look, we were very British about it. We bury our heads in the sand. And if it doesn't, if we don't look at it, it doesn't exist. So what my thing is to say, look, would you rather your finances take control of you? Or would you like to take control of your finances by working out what goes where? And the first step is we fill in this financial questionnaire. They can fill it in alone. We can fill it in together. And I've often helped people find money that they didn't even know they had. I've helped people cancel direct debits that they didn't even realize they were still paying. So I've saved money. And they're like, wow, unless I'd have done this exercise, I'd have never have known. And they feel so much better. So I do a lot of financial well-being in the workplace where I go in and I speak to employees from all different backgrounds, all different types of companies, and especially focusing on obviously the deaf community now and helping them know that they have access to friendly financial advice from someone that they can trust. And obviously with interpreters, like I'll say, I'll come to you. You don't have to come to us. We'll come to an environment that you're comfortable in and we can do this in your home. And often I advise with a member of their family or a friend or someone that's with them.
Oh, what advice would you have to somebody looking to start something similar in another part of the world or another part of the UK? Because we now have listeners from 41 countries. So maybe somebody gets inspired by our journey.
Wow, incredible. I'd say go for it. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Absolutely, reach out. I will have a call with you. I will tell you about my journey. I will tell you how I got started, what the process is, kind of warts and all, you know, the good, the bad. You know, the studying is, it's pretty hard, but there's people out there that can make it, you know, like enjoyable. And I found those kind of people along my journey. So if you're considering a career change or thinking about that you want to give back and help, and if it's in the financial industry, then absolutely. There are so many different places that I could refer you to and training programs that pay you to do the job whilst in the job. Or if you want to do another job, you can do your studies in your own time. So many different options. And I will never forget when I came back, I said to my fiance at the time, because I came back from Cape Town and obviously I didn't have a job. And I said, I really think that this is what I want to do. But I'd been headhunted by a company that was waiting for me to kind of come back. And they were offering me double my salary of what I was on before I left. It was a different company. And I was like, it was like this golden carrot was dangling in front of me. And I was like, I could go there. I know this inside out, this job, and I could do it easily. Or I could take the hard road. It was going to be a pay cut. It was going to be learning again. But then I could really have a chance to do something that I felt was giving back as well and helping people's everyday lives. My fiance just looked and he went, you've never been one to take the easy road, Ruth. Go for it. So I think if you have that, you know, you've got a support network, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, whether it is your partner, I 100% say, you know, go for it. And nothing ventured, nothing gained. And growth only happens outside your comfort zone.
So the good, true.
The bad, like I've had, so, like when I moved to Cape Town, that was the worst time in my life. You know, potentially nearly losing my mom, and new country that had its own challenges. And that was really, really tough. But the strongest steel is forged in the hottest fires. And that really did shape me. And I came back a different person from that experience. And it led me to where I am today. So I will forever be thankful for that difficult period and for the teachings and the blessings that it also gave me.
I think it's a really good shout. I mean, I did my MBA when I was in Saudi Arabia, and partly in the pandemic here as well. And it was because I was there, I finally, it was a goal for many, many years, and I kept putting it off, but then I finally took the plunge. So absolutely resonate with you. An opportunity for you to talk about anything I haven't asked you about.
I think you've pretty much answered it. I really want to tell people, don't ever let anyone tell you you can't. Because if you want to do it and there's something in the back of your mind, then go and explore it, because life is too short. And what's the worst that can happen? Because I wouldn't class it as you fail doing that, because you gave it a go and you realize that that was something that might not have been your path. But when one door closes, another opens, and always try and have that positive mentality and surround yourself with people that you aspire to be like and or who you look up to. Because it really, that has been a big thing for me. Because doing this job, certain people fell by the wayside that I thought were really close because they didn't support what I was doing. But that opened it up for people who were super supportive to step in. And it has been a real journey, but it's been one that I wouldn't change for the world. And I'm so thankful.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to go to my signature question that I ask all my guests. So first of all, describe the Mancunian spirit in a word or a phrase.
Oh, it's the word tenacious comes to mind. Like, I don't even know if that's the right word.
It's a good word, I think. Perseverance.
Yeah, very much so.
And one of my first guests said Mancunians are fierce.
Yeah, we have fire in our belly. I think everyone does. But Mancunians especially, we have a very strong, it's not community, I don't know what the word is. It's like we all kind of plug together. I'm very, very proud. We're very proud people. Proud of where we're from, no matter where I've been in the world.
I'm glad your journey brought you back to Manchester. Can you share a Mancunian who inspires you and why?
A Mancunian? My dad, I think. Because he's got an MBE for services to the entertainment industry. So we've been to Buckingham Palace and we've seen that, but he's had businesses that he's opened and businesses that have failed and businesses that have done exceptionally well. He's reinvented, his career as times have changed. And, he's always been very composed and a true businessman. So, yeah, I really look up to him. I don't think he knows that.
I hope he can listen to this podcast and hear that, because shout out to your dad. He sounds wonderful. What's the most important life lesson you've learned?
That every single thing that happens to you, there's a reason for it. And you just have to, don't look out. Always look what your lesson is. And how you can do better. Don't place blame on others. Always turn it round and think, right, if I was in that situation again, what would I do differently? And never let anyone tell you can't. I love my family, but there's only one person in my family that I think believed that I could get to where I am now. And they're all, even they admit it now, they go, oh, I didn't think you'd make it all the way through. And it's like, just have that belief and just listen to your inner gut.
Thank you for sharing that. It's a great, great life lesson, because I think that inner belief or that self-confidence, it can take you places, because you keep yourself going when maybe others around you aren't as confident.
I have to say, I'm not necessarily a very confident person. And, I'm saying this because I'm forgetting that there's going to be tons of people listening to this. But it's more like we're just having a conversation. So I don't want people to think, oh, gosh, she sounds really confident. She knows what she's doing. I really like, I mean, obviously in finance, I know what I'm doing. But every day is a lesson. And I always think, what can I learn from what I did today? And how can I make that better? That growth mindset. And it's something I have to work really hard at. So everyone that's listening can do it.
Thank you. And I believe that too. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Myself and my fiance, he asked me, we always have these kind of random questions and I can never answer that. I think my superpower would be to heal people. I would love to be able to, and animals. Oh, or speak to animals. I don't know. There's so many. Yeah, I think I would love to be able to heal people's pain and help them or speak to animals. I know that's two. That's being greedy. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I don't know.
I'm going to gift you two because I love animals too. So that sounds really nice. And hopefully that kitten and you can have a long chat later.
It'd probably just be feed me now. That's what it would be.
And play with me, isn't it? Yeah. Is there a funny story you'd like to share with listeners? Maybe something from your work or something from being in Manchester?
Oh, I'll never forget a client once. And she's one of basically one of my closest friends. And she waited till I qualified. But God love her. Have you heard of individual savings accounts, also known as ISAs?
Yes, I think I've seen something like that from Santander.
Yeah, once in a while. You have cash ISAs and you have like stocks and shares ISAs, but they're called ISAs because it's individual savings accounts, ISA, ISAs. And I remember we set this ISA up for her. And I came to meet her and she was like, right, so we're invested in ISIS and we're going to go and do these. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. There's a big difference between ISIS and ISA. You're invested in ISA. And she was like, oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I miss me. You know, and it was like, we obviously had a laugh. I was like, yeah, hope no one's listening to this. But yeah, it is an ISA. But yeah, it's actually spurred me on to kind of write a book to help beginners in learn about finance, but do it with a comical kind of value, not just like, oh, this is stocks, this is shares, and actually share some of the stories that I'll have. But yeah,
that'd be interesting. I'd love to hear about
that. Yeah, I'm just in the kind of final stages of writing it, and then I need to find a way to get it published and to look into it. But yeah, it's once again, I wanted to offer it to people who might not feel confident meeting a financial advisor and might just want to kind of learn the basics before and some of the terminology. So like have a glossary at the back with all the terms so that if they go, I don't know what that is, and they can turn to the back. And a very, very easy, simple guide to finances.
Sounds great. And Ruth, you must let us know all about it. Thank you so much. This is all I have for now. So it was a real pleasure. And thanks so much for sharing your story.
No, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Ruth, I really enjoyed learning about helping the community with financial advice today. Dear listener, thank you so much for listening to the 5th episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, season 4. I hope this episode and the podcast itself encourages you to follow your passions, inspired by the amazing Mancunian guests who feature here. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode or log on to www.meetthemancunian.co.uk to listen to all the episodes and learn more about my podcasting story. Next week on Tuesday, 27 December 2022, the Meet the Mancunian podcast talks to Lauren Rose Green about helping the homeless. Please do leave a review or a voice message on my website www.meetthemancunian.co.uk It takes only a few minutes. Thank you.